So the county hired a person to paint fresh yellow lines down the middle of all the county roads in a rural country. The first day, this man painted an astonishing 10 miles of road with new double yellow lines down the middle. This was a record. His boss was thoroughly impressed with his accomplishment. No one had ever painted 10 miles of yellow lines in one day. So he was very impressed with this task. Although still good, the second day, the man only painted 7 miles of yellow road. The third day, the man managed to only paint 5 miles of yellow lines, which is not very good. The boss thought maybe this man had a bad day. But when the fourth day came and the man only managed to paint 1 single mile of yellow line, the boss had no choice. He had to call the man into the office for an explanation. The man began to tell him that the painting of the lines was getting more difficult every day, and his progress was less because every day, as he was moving through this, he was getting further away from the paint bucket. Yeah, think about it a second. He was getting further away from the paint bucket. So the farther he got away, the less he was able to accomplish. As Christians, our lives get harder. The further away we get from the bucket, the source of our faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 18. This is what Grayson read earlier, and I'm going to read it again because it's so important that we understand what is being said in this text. This morning, this lesson is not just for our graduating seniors. This lesson is for all of us. Every day in life, we need to remember that it is our job to be living out our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 through 18. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffering for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. It's very important that people hear what is intended to be said. That was part of Jesus' mission all along. At the very beginning of his ministry, he went a little ways up a hillside and he started speaking to his disciples and those who had gathered around. His words are recorded by Matthew in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. During part of the sermon, Jesus went through a list of corrected statements. He wanted to make sure that what the people had been hearing all these years was what was really intended to be said. We call them the 6 antitheses. Jesus followed a similar pattern through all 6 recaps. You have heard that it was said, but I tell you. He knew that the people had heard one thing from the religious teachers all these years. He needed to make sure that what they heard was really what was supposed to be said. I want to offer up a recap this morning, a summary of sorts. I want to make sure that what many of us may have heard over the years is really what was said. So we'll use this pattern phrased of our Lord to set the stage. You have heard that it was said, do the right thing. But I tell you, how you do the right thing is as important as doing the right thing. Our text reads, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" It does not read, "Who is going to harm you if you do good?" Peter writes, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" You know, we need to understand that it is about our motivation as well as the actual good deed. There are many good things that are done in this world, many of which are done in the name of Christ himself. Look at the bags up here for Christ Haven. That is done for good works. Hungry people are given food. Homeless people are given places to stay. Sad people are given a hug. Lonely people are given conversation. Rejected people are given friendship. There are many good things that are done on a regular basis, and how they are done matters to our Lord. It's not enough to go on a mission trip. You have to come to God with the motivation of why you are going, why you are doing what you're doing. Seniors, as you leave to go off to college or the workforce, you need to be asking yourself every morning as you're looking in the mirror, who is going to harm me if I am eager to do good? And you go and you do good. You have heard that it was said, don't look back. But I tell you, who you are today is largely a result of others who have been before you. I want my moms and dads to listen up, and more importantly, I want those that have kids to hear what I'm about ready to say. But even beyond that, when we look as a family and we look around in this room, all of us are included in this about what I'm getting ready to say. Who we are as a mom and a dad, as a grandparent, as a faithful believer in Jesus Christ in this room, who we are today will affect our children. It will affect our children. You know, although I love being a youth minister, quite frankly, because I get to play a lot and it's fun, it's not my job to get our children to heaven. It's all of our jobs, every single one of us. Parents, it is your job to grow your children in the Lord. It is your job to make sure they're involved in church. It is your job to make sure they're reading their Bible and that you're having family discussions about your faith. It's your job to get your hands dirty and get to work in the church. Because showing the true example of what it means to be a Christian to our children, who we are as parents will largely affect our children. Seniors, you're about to embark on one of the most freeing times of your lives. I remember it. I got to move away from home, had no parents, got to make my own decisions. Some of them were good, some of them were bad. We won't go into the bad ones. But you're about ready to do that. Some of the decisions you are free to make the next several years of your lives will go a long way in determining the course of your lives. The possibilities are endless. You get to choose. You have a wide open canvas to draw which the image of your life, because people sacrificed so much for you. As you walk these new paths, the day is ahead. Stop along the way. Look back at the other footprints that were left by the people that traveled before you, your parents, your grandparents, those that were important to you in this church, but more importantly, Jesus himself. You have heard that it was said, clean your room, make your bed, wash your hands, take your dishes to the table. But I tell you, wash your hands. I'm just kidding, but that's important. But I tell you, the pure in heart will see God. The pure in heart will see God. Jesus told us about the ones with pure hearts. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You know, so many people in our world are worried about outward appearances. I know it's been that way in high school too, probably for you seniors. But it's about to get a great more intense. The bad news is that it doesn't end. This is something that continues to go on. It really has always been that way. I remember when I was in high school, it was the same way. Jesus talked about it often. There were people in Jesus' day who wanted others to think that they had prayed and they had fasted so intensely that others could see it in their faces. But the problem was, what was happening was, that these people that were doing this, they were covering their faces with powder and other forms of makeup to make themselves look weak and tired and hungry. So they're given this appearance that they've been fasting tirelessly. But in all actuality, they hadn't been. And Jesus blasted them for that trick. They were the same people whom he accused of being like dishes which are only clean on the outside. Imagine that. Imagine going to a restaurant. I've had this happen before, and it's not fun. But imagine that you sit down at a restaurant, and a waitress brings you a glass of water, but only the outside of the glass has been cleaned. The inside is still dirty from the last person who used it. It's an age-old trap of outward appearances versus inward reality. You have heard and will continue to hear that you should clean the outside. I tell you, don't forget about the inside. You have heard that it was said, plan your work and work your plan. But I tell you, plan his work and work his plan. About 18 years ago, God designed a masterpiece that's getting ready to walk across a graduation stage. The combination of bones and muscles and nerves and veins and brain cells and joints is beyond what we can even imagine by ourselves. We are all nothing in this room. I hope you understand this. We are nothing short of miracles. God has a plan for you. His miracle. I really believe that. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 13. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Many people choose to follow their own plan or the plan that someone else has marked out for them or the plan that circumstances in their lives have dictated for them. I tell you that we will only be complete if we seek his plan for us individually. I hope your plan in life is one simple Bible verse in Matthew chapter 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God has a plan for you, seniors. God has a plan for everyone in this room this morning. Seek it above all others. If we seek his plan, we will find the proper places in which he wants us to be. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that. You have heard a lot of things said, but I tell you, listen to what he says. Seniors, here in a few minutes, we're going to give you a Bible. And what I hope is that you'll take this Bible that we're about to give you and you'll devour it. Don't just let it sit on the shelf and collect dust, but devour it. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Seniors, the time is now. The time is now that you really work for what God is getting ready to bless you with. Church, the time is now. Some of you in this room, you don't quite have a senior yet. But maybe you have a middle schooler. Maybe you have a fourth or fifth grader. Maybe you're like me and you have a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old. The time is now, as me as a parent, to be influencing my daughters for the Lord. And that goes for you as well. Because my hope and prayer is that as our kids get to their senior year, there's no doubt in our mind that God is going to take care of them and is going to bless their lives, because they're going to remember what we taught them. Some of us have been painting a future as we walk down the road, but we left the bucket behind. We left the source of our hope, the future, Jesus Christ, miles back, and we need to get to him, and we need to start over again.